Welcome to the Humanity Matters podcast, where we discuss and reflect on faith and philosophy, leadership and social issues. We want to engage in ideas and what it means to be a free human being in the pursuit of human flourishing. For more information, please visit our website, philipfletcher.org. And now, the Humanity Matters podcast. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Humanity Matters podcast. I am your host, Dr. Philip Fletcher. Hey, do me a favor. Go to my website, philipfletcher.org, and sign up for the email newsletter blast. That's going to be resuming in June, so you can keep up to date with all the latest podcasts, essays that I produce, speaking events, and the like. Also, if you're on Facebook, find me at Dr. Philip Fletcher. That's Dr. Philip Fletcher, where I put up thoughts and reflections and other writings as well. Also, find me on Instagram. Also, you can find me on Twitter. Just look my name up. So, just a little background. A couple of years ago, I made a conscious decision trying to move away from speaking about just Black issues. Issues related to Americans who are identified socially and culturally as Black, those who have descendancy from Africa specifically as a result of the transatlantic slave trade, or maybe they live in places such as Haiti, the Bahamas, the Caribbean area, and the like. But more specifically about the life experience of Americans who are Black. Over a while, they got kind of tiring. People would reach out to me about something that would happen at that time about Ferguson, and then later on, what happened with George Floyd. Then I made a conscious decision. It was like, I'm going to fall back and just speak about humanity in general. But then I came to see that a lot of the things that were happening, especially with young Black males, I felt as if and feel as if I have something to say. One, because when I see these young Black males, I think about my own son, Nicholas, who lives in California. Shout out to my son, my firstborn. And what would I say to him? What have I said to him? And anything that I have said to him, does that have any value to any person, specifically a male who is Black, in America, in Arkansas, in Conway? So on one level, I feel I have a level of responsibility, yes, to humanity, because I'm a human being made in the image and likeness of God, like all other human beings. But then also I understand that because of God's divine providence and purposes, I have this particular skin color, brown, and I've been born at this particular time and in this cultural context, that for whatever reason, ethnicity or race is a factor. And so I feel as if I have a responsibility to figure out how I can apply my philosophy of personalism, more specifically Christian personalism, not only to the experience of humans in general, but American Black males and females, men and women, specifically. I was listening to the Glenn Show, and the Glenn Show, you can find it on YouTube. Just a free shout out to Glenn Lowry and John McWhorter. And they were interviewing Ian Rowe. And in this, the topic was, who speaks for Black Americans today? Typically, there was a time where there was W.E.B. Du Bois, there was Booker T. Washington, Marcus Garvey. Later on, we would have Malcolm X. We would have Elijah Muhammad. Obviously, we would have Martin Luther King Jr. These individuals, and let's not forget Fannie Lou Hamer, Rosa Parks, others. Black men and women who were identified as those who were speaking for Black America. Men and women during the early 20th century, the late 19th century and through the 20th century, who saw what was going on with freed Blacks, right? And then their integration into America, then their segregation in some parts of America. And these men and women seeking to raise their voice on behalf of men, women, and children in the context of economics and politics and education and the like, that these men and women were still being prevented from securing the full blessings of liberty that were promised in the Declaration of Independence. And so you had Du Bois with his Souls of Black Folk. You had Booker T. Washington with Tuskegee and the Atlanta Compromise. And then you have Marcus Garvey and his empowerment message. And then you would have Malcolm X with his push for Black empowerment, but more to, from a separatist standpoint. And then you had Martin Luther King Jr., who pushed for integration. Obviously, that is the message that prevailed, that was acceptable to the majority of Americans. And so we had the March on Washington, 1963, which we're going to be celebrating the 60th anniversary this year. So I got some thoughts coming on that. We have the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Was the work done? Do we still need a singular voice to rise up to speak for this portion of American society? It's curious to me because we don't ask that about Latinos. At one time, it was Cesar Chavez. You can make the argument for early 20th century, about the same time as Martin Luther King. But is that question asked today about Latino Americans? Is that asked about Asian Americans? Heck, is it even asked about white Americans? Is it asked about Muslim Americans or Native Americans? Why is this question thrown at Americans who are Black? Well, I would make an argument that while there was a necessity for a voice to be raised up, to be elevated, to speak on behalf of a large portion of the American society in order to secure more of the freedoms and the opportunities that were availed to, well, the majority of white Americans, those opportunities are there now. Standing now in 2023, the 21st century, if anything, we don't need a national voice. So I would ask Al Sharpton to sit down. I would ask Jesse Jackson to sit down. I would ask Ibram Kendi to sit down. What we need is localized voices. Men and women in their local area who are looking at what's going around in their neighborhood and in their city. Maybe the ceiling is the state, but they're looking at their locale and they're looking at what the opportunities are. They're looking at what the problems are, and they're seeking to merge opportunity and problem in order that there would be a solution. And if there is no opportunity, creating an opportunity in order to address that particular problem at that local level. Why? Because what is happening in Conway, Arkansas, as it relates to American Blacks and American Black males and American Black females, is different than what is being faced by American Black male and females down in Little Rock. And that's only about 30 miles from me. And if you head the other direction, 2 hours to Northwest Arkansas, different set of problems. And if I were to take you down to areas like Dumas or Mitchellville, about an hour and a half, 2 hours from here, Eudora, it's a different set of problems being faced by American Black males and Black females. We need localized voices to address local problems, because the problems that are happening in Chicago or Los Angeles or New York, these bigger urban centers, are not necessarily the problems that are being faced where I'm at in Conway, Arkansas. And the opportunities that are available to those in Conway, Arkansas are different than those that are available to those in, say, a Chicago or a Little Rock. And so we need those localized voices to look out, look around, and say, there's a problem, here's an opportunity, and if there's no opportunity, let us create one unique to our specific situation. There's beauty in the specificity. There's beauty in the uniqueness. There is a beauty in the opportunities that we can find as it relates to our specific area. A one-size-fits-all approach, I believe that has been secured. And what happened in the late 19th century, the early 20th century, on up through the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Now we stand ready to continue the work, but at a local level. That's something to think about on today as we march toward the 60th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech, August 28th, 1963. Be courageous.
Hey, if you found something of value, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Find us on Facebook at Dr. Philip Fletcher. Find us on Twitter at Phil Fletcher. And as always, visit us on the website philipfletcher.org.